Hello to you and welcome to the series of talks, A New Life with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. With us is also Nitza Mazoz. Hello, Nitza. Hello. And together at this series of shows, we're going to learn how to be wise. What do we mean by wise? Rav Lightman explained that a wise person is someone whose eyes are in his head, someone who can see the future and be prepared for it ahead of time. And we want to talk about today to continue and develop this direction in order to understand what we can do here and now in order to reach security in our life, in our personal lives, with our families, and in general in our society in this very special time that Israel is in now. So Nitza, if you could maybe give us an introduction that will put us on course. Yes, so last time we began to talk about the issue of healing society and creating a program that will give security to a person on all kinds of levels, on the personal level, on the existential level, and will slowly bring into fruition these systems of mutual help. So when we begin to create such a plan, there are steps that we need to take. The first step is to see what is the problem, what requires improvement. And then the second stage is to build a certain picture in which we want to see ourselves in. Not something that's too distant, something that's close. And then and the third stage is to already specify the steps, the actions that we need to take in order to reach this picture. So maybe you could lead us step by step into this process. We spoke about the correction within a family, between a couple, and also we had talks about educating children. We have quite a lot of material on that for now, I think. And later when we'll have to tie all of this together, we'll need to add a little bit so that it will be a unified system. But for now, on both these topics, we're covered. And now we're going from the inner state of correction, of education, of the family, of our relationship with our spouse, to things that are close to a person on a slightly farther circle, which is the region in which he lives. This means the neighborhood or the town, it could be a city. And here, what's important to a person is to have a good environment that will be clean, where he'll have help and services from his environment, for him to be well off, and also for his family to be well off. And here we need to awaken a person also from his ego to build this good environment, the correct environment, especially now that we are facing this crisis in which we won't have much money, we won't be able to demand much money from the state to help us through the local authorities, and we will need to take these things upon ourselves. And we need to check what services we receive from the local authorities and what services we can take upon ourselves. And that could mean that it will be even more beneficial. And also a lot of people are unemployed. And also those who aren't will have many hours of free time in which they can all organize for their environment, their close environment, maybe later the more distant environment, a safer life, a more secure life. And when I see that this problem is not just my own, but it's a problem for many people, then it's easier for me, and I don't suffer from it so much because I see it's a social norm. And secondly, it's not that we go down in our level of consumption, Because it's possible that we could supply all of our needs in a nice and good, on a good level. I'm not just talking about the social fulfillment that we receive from such a thing, but by organizing such storage houses for clothing, for all kinds of kitchen utensils, for furniture, for each and everything. We organize such lists of people who can help each other in different corrections and we can open up all kinds of workshops for corrections of shoes, of clothes, all kinds of things that we can organize in our environments. Also, workshops for our children, and not to spend so much money on after-school activities. But these things will be run by volunteers, and there are many people who are able to do that. And then they'll teach our kids in their free time outside of school all kinds of good things that are beneficial for our children. Also exercise and sports and all kinds of additional things. So we can, in this connection between us and our environment, even in our area or region, we can purchase things together and receive a lower price. We can demand lower prices. Why should we have such high prices here in Israel, so much higher than in Europe? Why should somebody earn millions? Why not for these millions to be divided between everyone, and so that everyone will be able to buy what he needs? So, of course, by that, a few supermarkets or food chains might go into crisis, but on the other hand, the general public will gain from it. And also, we should decrease the extent of our consumption, both in quantity, but also in its quality, and we don't need 50 different types of cottage cheese and 200 different kinds of other cheeses and so on. So we'll reach such a state in which we have everything, but on a normal level. You'll have this and this and this. And a person will understand that at least he has these things, and he's sure that he has it, and he has everything he needs, all the types of food that the human body needs. Not that we'll arrive at any such very big concessions, or and it will also cost at least half the price, if not less, and it will be easy for us to supply it to everyone. And the same for all the other different kinds of services that we have, also with electricity. Why should a worker at the electricity company earn 50,000 shekels a month? And also we should have a certain agreement with them that we should receive this electricity in a special price, for a special price. It's all in all, it's just a matter of creating these conditions. We for them and they for us. And not to be under all these chains that earn 70-80% off everything they sell us, but to have this fair service. Everything is in the hands of the society, a society that's connected, that's unified, and decides what it needs to do and wants to do, just like we saw with the kibbutzes and the towns here that bought things in unified fashion and under special conditions. So this is the sort of thing we need to do. And also, we need to prepare a person and give people this education, the integral education, and teach them that we have two systems here. We have the human system inside, which exists in the natural system, the general natural system, and these two factors affect each other. And the good and comfortable state, when we're in balance and harmony between nature, between humanity and nature, and then also from nature, we won't experience the different blows that we are now stirring up in nature. We are the actual cause of these phenomena. And therefore, when a person learns these laws of nature and the laws of human society that tell us how our ego needs to be under our control, that we need to restrain or control it, and then people will see how they can create this new environment after all of the previous systems break down. Again, we see that they're now entering this state of collapse, and really you can't correct them the way that they are right now. And of all the forms that we can describe, only the form of connection between us is the form that can exist because it is in balance with nature. And by that, we bring all of humanity into one form. Well, it's not humanity for them at the moment. For now, it's just certain regions and then the state. And by that, we balance our situation with the natural environment, the ecological environment. And that's actually the process that we need to go through. This process does not depend on us. We will have to go through it either way. But it's preferable for us to do it with the right understanding, with the advancement of our acknowledgement and understanding of this process. And nature will compel us to do it through these blows and crises, just like the crisis right now, and different wars and problems, so that we would smarten up and understand that there's no choice. That's all. So really, as Oren said before, we don't want to wait till this moment of the collapse of our current systems. We want to begin to build a comprehensive system that runs according to these new laws to complete what's already going on. And how will this system look like? What will be the difference between it and what's already active at the moment? The problem is that when I talk, I usually, when I talk about systems, I also relate to nature as a system that operates according to certain laws. And through these laws that it operates on us, it develops our human society, the person and the society itself. And then it turns out that if up until now, until the 20th century, maybe a bit more, until the first crisis in America that we had in the 30s, up until then, we developed according to our simple linear ego and according to our ego in the simple linear way where nature would influence us. And this is the law of our egoistic development, where I would simply look for how I can gain more and decrease my investment. And suddenly this system began to enter slowing down, or even a crisis, just like we saw in America, and then there was the second, if we didn't have the Second World War, then we'd see that again and again and again. Usually we exit these states through wars, but when we have wars, it's not that we actually exited the crisis, but through wars we correct the damage that the war itself created. And once we correct that damage, once we did that, then again we begin to feel the crisis. in the 60s, just 15 years after the war, we hardly left it in Europe, in the east part of it, the west, in all kinds of places. Already we began to feel that the second crisis, that really the crisis wasn't finished, it didn't end, but the war hit it. And then it was revealed once again. What was revealed? Our opposition to nature. And nature becomes more and more, or shows itself to be more and more integral, and to operate on us from all sides, and it closes us in these laws of its own, and there are many researches about this. And we, in our egoistic protectionist way, take care only of ourselves, each country to itself, at the cost of course, of its neighbors and others, other countries, etc. So in this way, we entered this distortion. The more that we tried to use our ego on the one hand, and on the other hand, to use nature's integral force on the other, and then we created this international trend, international commerce, and all kinds of international ties. After the war, we immediately established the United Nations and UNESCO and all kinds of international systems and international companies, international trade. We began to use Africa and Africa until then wasn't used at all by the developed countries. Near and far in the East, the far and near East. So then we developed as much as we could by using both of these systems, both the integral system of connection between us and also the egoistic system. And then we used them and built this egoistic international mechanism. And by that we reach a state that is, according to nature, that is advancing and compelling us to progress further into the direction of connection and integrality. Here we could not advance any farther. And despite us trying to do so, even in Europe, which is the most developed place, in the place that senses the most that we have to be in some kind of mutual connection, in cooperation. So we went for it, but we did so egoistically in the same method. And so it seems that we built something that's common, that's cooperative, but it's only egoists that connected together. And therefore this entire connection is not for the benefit of all, and not even for the benefit of each and every one. But some gain financially, some gain honor or status, and some gain from it the ability to move from country to country. But all in all, it's not a connection that the kind that needs to be, as if it's one country, as if it's one people. It's not a unified Europe. Canceling the borders isn't a real cancellation of borders. There is no common education that we give to everyone. They're not studying special programs that are equal to all. We're not operating in such a way for them to get to know each other and connect to each other. And we're not instilling in them a cooperative spirit of closeness, of mutuality, because it's just one continent with one history. Let's stop with all this history that we had until now. Now we all are supposed to belong to one people, etc. We didn't create one government or unified economic systems and cultural systems, educational systems. there aren't any. All we've done is egoists who build this common market, and it's really just a market and no more. And so this state, because it came out of the ego and not for the sake of connection, then it reached a kind of beginning and it stopped. And once again, nature, because it advances and it wants to, in its evolution, to advance human society, it pressures us and demands from us to advance. Nature is showing us this crisis. That we're not okay, that our two systems are not balanced. The human society and the natural society, natural environment. Because we exist in a system of laws, and we see that the human race is also a product of nature. It's not disconnected from nature. And so we need to learn its laws, and by that maybe we'll reach some sort of understanding of what to do, in what form we can succeed. Because of course that not knowing the laws of nature will bring us to all evil. If I don't know a certain law and I enter a fire because I don't know what it is, or use something that can blow me up or something else, I need to learn these laws of nature, and in accordance to that I'll know how to better my situation. And here we don't know. We think that in human society we exist in a kind of system where we can do anything we want. But you see that there are 200 countries in the world and 200 different methods how to run the human race in each different place. And so you see that sooner or later everyone goes bankrupt. And of all our research, we see that nature is pushing us towards connection, to this unified form. Just like it presents itself as so unified, connected in all its parts. I remember when I was still young, we never spoke about it. That if we destroy a certain species in nature from the vegetative level or the animal kingdom, if we take something out of the earth, we didn't think there would be any consequences. We didn't see that everything was connected. We could kill all the flies because they disturb our lives. Or we could kill all the wolves because they disturb us, and everything would be fine. And later, we arrived at this understanding that you can't destroy anything, because everything in nature is necessary. And if you destroy something, you create an imbalance in the entire system. And you don't know even why you receive a certain blow from a certain direction. Suddenly you have an eruption of some volcano or a tsunami or something else, and you wonder where that came from. But it could come just because you dried a swamp somewhere. That's what we did here in Israel. We dried the Ahula swamp, and now they want to bring it back because they saw how much damage was caused by it, etc. So then man does all kinds of things on his little planet of Earth without understanding the laws of nature, and that creates damage. And especially so that happens in human society because it's so powerful and creates such great damages, which are even irreversible. And so we see this ecological problem. We've never felt as we feel this year with the climate, and what will happen next year, it's I'm afraid to think. Because we see what leaps we go through. So what will happen next year? We'll have 7-8% more heat? How will we live, and what will happen the next year? So we're arriving at a state And so what integral education says is that we need to begin the studies of nature, and only through and from this understanding determine what we need to do on all different levels, in our education at home and in the family, between couples, between in our relationships with our spouse, and human society, between countries and all over the world. Nature is compelling us today to advance to a state in which we have one government, to have one culture and one education system, for everyone to have one level of quality of life. The question is how we'll be able to advance towards that with our ego. But we have to understand that if we want to live in a less threatening state, then the direction must be in this direction, and there is no other choice. So we can't wait for something to change on the outside. That the more that we can convince ourselves to change from the inside, in order to harmonize ourselves with this external natural system. Do we want to talk about this on the global level or the more internal Israeli level? We're talking about the Israeli level. So for now, this global government is not so relevant. That's right, but I want to say that if we are facing nature here, then there's no other choice but to talk about the more global situation. Okay, so another question I have is, in our last talk, you said you don't want to use the term education because it's something that most people relate to children or something that takes a lot of time. Okay, so you can say changing public opinion. It's hard to change. We can change our wording. Okay, so Nita asked a question that I'll be glad to hear you answer. You said in our last talk that a wise person is someone whose eyes are in his head, who sees where everything is going, and he analyzes it, and he knows what he needs to do in advance. And today we see and feel here in Israel that the economic situation is getting worse and worse each month. The prices go up. There are different economic changes, and people are beginning to count each shekel. If once a person would go abroad every summer, then now he's saying maybe not. I saw this abroad when I was abroad. You also went abroad. Did you see it? Yes, I did. Maybe half or a third of the people who are usually abroad go. Yeah, so people travel a lot less, and that shows that people are looking ahead, like you said, and they're seeing an uncertainty that's coming closer. It seems that the direction is negative. You don't have to be a genius to see that. So they begin to prepare themselves in advance. And you mentioned a few steps. Let's organize between us and create warehouses of clothing, of food, and create networks of services and lower the prices and by purchasing things together and etc. So what Nitsa asked is, she said, we want to be wise. I don't want to wait for everything to break down. I want to define a plan of rehabilitation that will not conflict with the current systems, but will complete them. For example, I have four children, and my younger child, he wants to study, he wants to learn music. He wants to play on a flute or clarinet. And so in addition to the workshops and after-school activities I have my other kids do, and I want this for my younger child as well, but I see that my budget doesn't allow it, and that makes me very sad. So you're illustrating a model here of social cooperation where we help each other. And when you describe warehouses for furniture and clothing, what exactly are you talking about here? You're talking about things that I don't use? Things that you know that you don't use and they can help others. You take them out of your home and bring them to the warehouse. And in this warehouse, you have people who work there, who organize these things and maybe fix them. and display them, and then whoever needs them comes and sees them and takes it for himself. Because each person has a surplus. Usually it's half our house. And by that we can help each other. We have excesses and we can help each other. So even for our, we have a minus in the bank even with our, just the necessary services that we need to purchase. That's right. So these things can help. And when you talk about such after-school activities, then sure, in our town or in our block, we can organize such activities for kids. But who will give this activity? Who will teach? A professional, someone who's an expert. Will he be paid? Yeah, maybe he'll be paid. By who? I don't have money to pay him. Wait, I'm asking one thing. This is where the question lies. If we talk about using money, then it's almost the same as we have now. Or we do this in a voluntary way, and we don't give a salary to anyone. But then, the question is, what are all the unemployed people doing now? Well, probably they sit at home and look for what to do. Then maybe if you have 50% of the people will be unemployed, what will you do with them? Well, if you talk about 50%, then we're already talking about a general breakdown. My question is, can we create systems right now before the other systems break down? That means being wise, right? Because we see the economy is already getting worse. So I want to try and take care of these things now. It's my reality already. I see I have no money for my kid to go to this activity. So I'm telling you, if we have people who are unemployed and can work voluntarily at teaching or doing these after-school workshops, and if he's unemployed, then he can receive a sort of pension. And he receives this normal social security pension. And apart from that, he can receive from us a kind of pass or card to allow him to participate and enjoy our warehouses that we have. Or it's just like in a kibbutz, for example. This person works. He contributes to society. I'm not quite grasping this. So today he gets this unemployment fund. Say he's unemployed. So if this person goes through this integral education with us and he agrees to work as a music teacher for kids, then he has free time all through the day. There are kids who want it. And apart from that, we give him some benefits in addition to that. In return for him working and for us, he's called a member of the club, let's say. And in all such kind of forms, we can draw people. It's also in a slightly egoistic way, but also it's through this praise that we give him. And if he is a professional, then he'll want it, because it's his expression. If I know how to teach flute, then for me it's also a pleasure to teach kids how to play. And then afterwards, I take them out some evening to play in front of everyone. I receive acknowledgement and pride, respect. Their parents respect me and they want to help me with everything. And if I have a problem at home, then the professional people will come and help me fix the electricity or the plumbing. Why do they come? Because I'm also helping their kids, so they're helping me at home with my house. I didn't understand. There's a plumber in the neighborhood. And it doesn't cost you anything. What do you mean? He needs to make a living. We're talking about a situation where everyone receives a kind of budget or pension. Well, this plumber, he's also unemployed? So you have an unemployed music teacher and an unemployed plumber. We need to take down all of our excess spendings for everyone. And so what we need to do is for each family to be able to live normally. It needs electricity and food and clothing. The families need all these things, and health and education, all these things. How much does that cost for a family? We need to see, can we cover all of that, and how can we cover it? You mean to complete everything that a person can't complete on his own? Yes. So imagine to yourself that half a country is unemployed. This is how it's going to be. So is this the kind of a situation we want to talk about now? Well, it's not so far in the future. Let's say 30%, not half. This is what's happening now. All the people who are going out now to the protests, I think most of them are unemployed. The single moms and all these people, talk to all of them. Every second person will tell you he's sitting at home unemployed. No, I don't think it's every second person. I think most of them are people who are working. And just like I described, what they make, their salaries aren't enough to cover the elementary things, even the basic things. And that is their frustration. I work. I served in the army. And my wife did the same and is working as well. And the society doesn't allow me to live respectfully. Well, I see it as unemployment that's unseen, because soon it will all explode. It's like concealed unemployment. So let's talk about the people today that they don't have enough in order to complete all their needs. Why do you think that you can't buy systems of mutual help? Well, I'd be very glad, and actually this is the purpose of our conversation, to learn from you what you recommend in a situation where most of the public cannot finish the month respectfully, and what kind of new perspective we can begin to create, what kind of system that will grow. Because we defined our topic today is how to build a kind of rehabilitation plan for society that will give each person a sense of personal security, inner security, by creating between us these values of mutual help, of mutual guarantee. So how can we specify this plan into steps from A to Z and know what we're going to do? And we see that today, that most of the population in Israel today cannot supply itself with all its needs, and people don't go to sleep calm. And most people in Israel are this way. So this is our opening point. And from here, how can I bring everyone to a state in which I, as a father, will be calm? And I will be able to supply my children with his music school, and maybe tomorrow will be food. So then my question to you is, with everything that you have today, without even receiving another penny for anyone, but the prices go up from month to month. Okay, so without investing, because you don't have any, how can you, through the connection between people, create such systems of mutual help, which will help you feel that suddenly that you are receiving more? Today, you interpret everything into money. the music school cost this and this much. The plumber cost that much. Corrections or fixing things at home cost that much. So if people who build for themselves such a framework in which they can receive these basic supplies, these basic services, in a mutual way from each other, without pay, but because they are living in a society and are interconnected through this mutual help, then people who are able to give a music lesson or fix things around the house, they'll do it. And people who have time will go to out to the street and clean the street and fix all kinds of things around the city. And by that, they'll save the money that otherwise the municipality would have needed to pay. And then voluntarily, they do all kinds of other things that city council does and waste a lot of money on. And then that will ease also the municipal payments or taxes. And they'll pay for water and electricity in a different way, because they'll enter special agreements with the electricity and water companies that we want to receive it in such a way and not otherwise. We're a big consumer. We're a big client. And then you'll pay half of the electricity bill and a third of your water bill. And also food, it won't cost three times as much as it does in Europe, but just as much as it does there, or even less. And each cottage cheese will cost a shekel and a half, and not seven shekels. It all depends on how much you unify the consumer power and organize it to handle the supply chains. Also education and health, it's all in your hands. And of course they are not interested in it. Well, there are different aspects that you specified here, and I want to talk to you about these different levels. The first one that I think is also most interesting is when you say that people who are not able to pay today for their needs, let's say you and Nitsa and I, if we can enter a kind of cooperation or a society of mutual help where we help each other, that reminds me very much of the place I grew up. There were a few houses. It's a cooperative Israeli settlement, and there was a plumber and somebody who did electronics. And I remember that whenever the TV broke down, then the neighbor would come over, and when we had a problem with the pipes, then the plumber would come, and when people had problems with social security or money, then they'd come to my dad. So you're talking about taking this principle and maximizing it. Before, you talked about something like a member card or something like that. What is the rationale behind it? People wanting to volunteer? Well, I'm asking you. You're also an accountant like your father, and you also grew up in such an environment. So tell me, what is the economic profit? It's huge. It's not just economic profit. It's also security. It's personal security, because you know that if you have a problem, someone will come and help you, just like a brother. It's just like in China. It's when you pay the doctor when you're ill and not when you're health. Excuse me, when you're healthy and not when you're ill, because you know, right? He won't cheat you. It's just like family. It's not like now that you think any professional will cheat you. But now we've already left this sort of situation. We're talking about a city where it's tough and each person is in his own little cocoon, and people lock the doors, and even if somebody knocks on them, nobody answers the door. How do you change that? education. You need to have an educational system, and through the media and internal media, and also national media. So we already understand that we need to have advocacy that will come before all of this, that will be directed to their specific needs of the public. Yes, of course. And through that, they'll be better off. Within a few weeks, they'll already begin to feel that. So let's say that I'm a consumer of this advocacy, and I absorb through the media, like you said. Let's say I have a local TV channel and some sort of advocacy or explanation system. So then there are different types. Say I'm a working person, but I don't get enough money to cover my needs. So let's say on your street there's a music teacher, a flute teacher. I'm just saying, let's try and discern here between two different types of people. Most of our population does work, but it's what she has isn't enough for it. And also we have a part of the public today that isn't working. It's easier for me to talk about the people who are working because they're the majority. So if we created such a model in which in this interaction between them they can better off their life, I think each person would want it. But you have to explain to me, what does that require from me? What I want, that I know. But we need to invent a completing system that will be added to my life after I've already paid my taxes. I have a minus in the bank. Everybody does. So what you're saying is, let's start to create a system of mutual guarantee that will bring us this addition, and that's what I want. Wait a minute. There's another way. We don't do anything. Well, I know how not to do anything, but you said that a wise person looks forward. When you reach such a collapse where your children are suffering, then you run to such a place that will supply you with what you need. Do you want to reach such a state? No. You want to start and create a completing system right now. Good. That's right. I'm saying 2 for 1. Because I see now that I don't have money to pay for music school, but I think that maybe in 2 or 3 years I won't have money for food. I'm seeing this direction, so what you are offering me, I'm taking the bait. But I want you to explain what is it exactly that we need to do, because I would like to be in such an interaction with others to receive this this system that will complete my needs. But let's be more concrete. What does that demand from me? Participation. No money. There is no money here. Maybe we have a member card that somebody who participates in this mutual help, that him and his children in his home also receive this mutual help. If I'm a music teacher and I give music lessons to these groups of children, well, that's something that you can do only if you're unemployed. And we are now talking about this situation where most of the population is working. So my wife and I, we work from morning till night, and that's not enough either. And I want to be entitled to this member club. So what do I do? Well, you need to also participate in to a certain extent. Otherwise, so how can you receive from us? What can I do? I don't know, maybe once a week you'll go out and clean the street. When? At night? I don't know. We want to lower our taxes to the city council, for example. Maybe for something else, for anything. Okay, so you're telling me you're a working man, so once a week, one evening a week, you help us decrease our expenses to the city council. So you're saying that we can find, for a working person, some like 2 hours a week, for example? Well, let's say maybe a little more. Well, it depends how many hours this person works. What do I need to give in order to receive a member card? And you're saying that during your free time, say on Friday, a lot of people don't work Fridays, so I'll need to give a few hours of voluntary work. And then I volunteer according to what my capabilities are, what I'm good at. Yeah, because it's not just anything. We want to gain. We want people to do what they're good at, right? So I give according to my ability. That's right. Each person will give as much as he can and receive what he needs. Okay, so in return for 4 hours of voluntary work a week, what do I receive? You receive the entitlement to enter the storage house, to choose clothes for your children if you need them, and services are from the plumber or from the electricity professional, etc. You receive these things without investing money, and instead of that, you contribute your work in society. Let's say I'm a plumber. And by that, we escape taxes, and the state doesn't earn from each and every action that we make like it's used to. And we're moving into a type of life here just like people lived a few hundreds of years ago. Because usually, if I'd give such lessons for money, then the country will receive my tax. And that's what the country lives off the state. We're talking about people who completely cannot finish the month. We're not talking about people who want to make money and become rich. So we're talking about a society that is in such a state of need that in order to not get worse, further even, then in order for you not to be in a state where you have no plumbing and no electricity and no food, then we'll have such services and you won't get it in any other way. Of course, because there are necessities and then there's the other things. Okay, so in this member card, we'll be able to specify what you're entitled to receive and what you don't. We don't want the state to deteriorate. That's really our concern. And that's what needs to be the concern of the state. Well, we see that we have such cities in the south that are in a very bad state, and nobody gains from that, because you could have a civil war from something like that. Unless a person has the necessities and what he needs to eat in the fridge, he becomes dangerous. We're not talking about taxes. We're not even talking about that, because they have nothing to eat. You should understand that food is the most basic thing and the main thing. And if in a year or two things will deteriorate so much that we won't even have food to give our kids, then here we were not even talking about the plumber coming over or not. We're talking about this necessary state in which we receive basic services. Otherwise, you will go from being an accountant to becoming a delinquent or a criminal with a gun, not with a pen. So I understand from you that this rule of mutual help is for you to give a certain amount of hours of voluntary work a week, and then you receive a member card. So we're talking about workers. I really don't want to talk about working people, because that's something passing. Okay, so maybe we'll talk about this new phase in our next conversation, but right now most of our population is working. So I give an X amount of hours a week and I receive this member card. And let's say I'm a plumber. And these 4 hours a week that I give of voluntary work, I could have also worked for these 4 hours. So you need to give me such a member card that my weekly gain will be more beneficial for me than 4 hours of work. Unless you are listening to our talks, to the integral education, and then you understand that you are integrating yourself with such a society that gives you emotional, internal profit in a different way that you can't interpret into money. Okay, sure, you can stay outside of us. If you want to be an independent plumber, go ahead, we'll find someone else. Even if you're a doctor, it doesn't matter what. You're equal to all. It's not that you're such a great plumber. You're equal to all. You give your hours and receive from us just what the accountant receives, or the flute teacher, or the doctor. It doesn't matter who, even the cleaner in the street. If you don't have any knowledge, then you go and clean the street and you receive the same as each other person. We don't calculate things according to money, but according to the participate of a person who wants to contribute to society, and through that he receives this completion of security, of the attitude of the environment towards him, and this good environment, and the mutual education of children. These are the profits that he receives. He must have food and shelter in order to live with his family. Everything else, except for this bare minimum, he will be compensated internally, and that is something that he will receive from the environment, just like the kibbutzes wanted to happen. Each person has everything, but the most important thing and the main thing is this inner compensation, this emotional compensation. I have a very big question, but maybe we should use it for our next show. That's right, because our time is up. So maybe we should move on to our next show. Thank you, Rav Lightman, so far. And thank you, Nitza. Thank you to all of you for being with us. We'll continue, and we promise you that it will be interesting. And until then, all the best and goodbye.